McLean County's health department may add more COVID vaccination clinics once they're assured there's enough for everyone due for their second dose.
Right now, the week-to-week vaccine allotments that we're getting sometimes last minute.
That's Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Monday, February 1st. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the latest in the ongoing struggle to get COVID vaccines into more people's arms in McLean County. More from Eric Stock.
McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight says the county expects to get about 1,900 COVID vaccine doses this week. That does not include doses that may go to grocery stores and pharmacies. She says the health department may add clinics once they are assured there's enough for everyone due for a second dose.
Right now, the week-to-week vaccine allotments that we're getting, it's sometimes last minute.
McKnight urges people to check the health department website frequently. COVID vaccination clinics in McLean County have filled quickly, leading to many frustrated people who are trying to get an appointment. McKnight says she hopes the county will soon get more advance notice of vaccine shipments, but it's all based on supply coming from the state.
We're hearing about the possibility of even the state level and the local level knowing 3 weeks worth of what allotments will be, and that will definitely help us better plan and open up even a month's worth of clinics.
McKnight says the department has added phone lines to handle more calls to its COVID call center.
Hundreds to thousands a day. All of our lines are definitely very busy. And again, why we're just asking for the public's patience. We know that it's been a long year for everyone.
The call center number is 309-888-5600. McKnight says the department is also responding to emails as quickly as possible, but she says they might not be able to get to everyone right away. The county ended January with 51 more COVID-related deaths. That matches the record set in December. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. 41-year-old Michael Bacana of Normal is charged with murder after allegedly fatally shooting one woman and injuring another outside a downtown Bloomington bar over the weekend. The owners of Joe's Station House face at least $1,750 in fines plus costs at a Normal Liquor Commission meeting tonight. They violated COVID mitigation rules. And Illinois State University's Board of Trustees meets today at noon to discuss the search for President Dietz's successor. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Lawyers representing some of the families who lost relatives after a COVID outbreak at the LaSalle Veterans Home are preparing to file their lawsuit. IPR's Juan Pablo Ramirez-Franco spoke with one family.
Lindsay Lamb's grandfather, Richard Seske Sr., died in November. He was one of the more than 30 residents at the LaSalle Veterans Home to contract COVID-19 and die from the outbreak there. Lamb says she was close to her grandfather.
We always laugh. He was a big schmoozer, a big flirt. His family was everything to him, and his wife was everything to him.
About 7 years ago, Seske's health started to decline. He had dementia. When it became too much to care for him on their own, the family decided that Richard move to the Veterans Home. Seske's wife, Bernie, came to visit him every day. She'd help him get ready for meals and spend time with him. But Lamb says that stopped when the state went into lockdown due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It wasn't until June that Seske's family could come visit him. And when they did, the visits had a window between them.
He didn't understand why my grandma couldn't show any affection towards him and couldn't hug him or touch him and started to think we didn't love him anymore.
Lamb says the 7 months leading up to Seske's death were lonely for him. But Lamb says her grandpa was lucky because the nurses and the nursing assistants had a soft spot for him. Around the beginning of November, Lindsay Lamb says her mom, Leslie Lamb, got a text message to check on him.
So I called the nurse's station and then said they were just down there and he was fine. And I said, okay. So then we got the FaceTime. He appeared to have a stroke. It was heartbreaking because he couldn't talk.
Mom, we hung up with him, of course, and Mom called the nurse's station again and asked that the in-house doctor go visit him and check him out because we knew that something was wrong.
So she went down there, called me back, and said that he has tested positive for COVID and they were going to move him to the COVID wing then.
Seske was in the COVID-19 wing for about a week. Then his family got the call.
And the doctor called back and said he's close. So you need to come and say your goodbyes.
And I brought a bottle of Windex and paper towels to wipe the window down so we could see him clearly. And we made a poster that says, "We love you, Dad." And we signed everybody's names to our surprise. We were expecting to go and, you know, say our goodbyes, and he was sitting up in his wheelchair, flirting with the nurses, laughing, joking with us, calling us all by our nicknames, more concerned with the fact that we were outside in the cold and not in there with him. After he saw all of us, he passed away in the middle of the night. I think he was waiting for all of us to come and see him.
Long-term care facilities have been particularly hard hit. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker noted the work ahead.
What we want to do is restore confidence that people have in our Veterans Affairs Department, and we want to do our best to take care of our veterans.
The outbreak and deaths at the facility prompted the Illinois Senate Veterans Affairs Committee to call for virtual hearings in November. Some of the findings included staff not wearing personal protective equipment or practicing social distancing, and sanitizer at the front entrance that wasn't alcohol-based. Isabel Bassador is a lawyer for Seski's family. She says negative pressure rooms used to isolate patients from airborne disease weren't being utilized appropriately.
They found that the doors were kept open because they said that, well, some of these residents are fall risks and the risk outweighed the benefit of keeping these doors open.
In December, amid outrage over the handling of the outbreak at the LaSalle Veterans Home, Governor Pritzker fired the director of the facility. Then the head of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs, Linda Chapalavia, resigned. For Lindsay Lamb, it's hard to think about the months her granddad spent relatively alone.
I understand that, unfortunately, that, you know, what happens with this virus, but I think that is what gets to us the most, is that he was alone.
The law firm representing Siski's family says they're currently representing 16 different families who lost relatives at the facility. I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
Today marks the start of Black History Month, and on WGLT throughout the month, we'll bring you different Black facts about the contributions and achievements of Black Americans, with some help from our friends at the Normal West High School Black Student Union. Here's the first in our series.
Hello, I'm Maya Eames from Normal West High School's Black Student Union with today's Black Fact. The Harlem Renaissance lasted roughly from the 1910s through the mid-1930s. It is considered a golden age in African American culture, manifesting in literature, music, stage performance, and art. The Harlem Renaissance gave artists and creators pride in and control over how the Black experience was represented in American culture and set the stage for the Civil Rights Movement. The social foundations of this movement included the great migration of African Americans from rural to urban spaces and from south to north, dramatically rising levels of literacy, the creation of national organizations dedicated to pressing African American civil rights, uplifting the race, opening socioeconomic opportunities, and developing race pride, including pan-African sensibilities and programs. For more Black facts, visit WGLT.org.
Before we let you go, the McLean County Board's Health Committee meets today at 4:30 with a COVID update expected from the Health Department. That is it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines. The Motor City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.